is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
New World Report, Special Edition. Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, are here to help us understand what Joseph has learned just back from the Darien province and the Darien Gap, Panama. This is a part of the world that has been in contention for several centuries, the Isthmus of Darien. The question is, what is happening now in 2023 and these last years? Because the stories are there is a steady flow of world refugees, migrants, immigrants flowing from South America through the Darien Gap, heading to either the Texas border, the California border, or anywhere along the southern border of the U.S. Joseph, welcome home. Your photographs with the center front, and I want to start with the center front because I'm told by a colleague of mine who has also reported from the Darien Gap over these last years that the center front is a first-rate organization managing an overwhelming flow of refugees these last years, doing it as professionally as you could ask for from any organization in the United States, and at this point is commenting on what is to be done with these refugees flowing. What is your experience with Center Front? What did you learn from them at the Darien Gap? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. Well, first of all, let me just second what your other colleagues have said about the Center Front. They are absolutely a first-rate organization. And for the audience to understand, Center Front is the Border Patrol of Panama, but they're more like if you were to mix the Border Patrol with elements of the FBI and the Navy SEALs, because they have a lot more capacity than what we think in terms of just normal Border Patrol, since they're patrolling a jungle and they're patrolling rivers as well. So the three big takeaways from my visit to the Darien Gap, along the Panamanian-Colombian border. The first is that there's a lot of disinformation that's used by human smugglers to essentially lie to the migrants to basically make them take this very dangerous journey, through the gap. The first is that they call it, a route, you know, the Darien route. And it's not a route. The Darien Gap is first an ecological preserve. It's second, the home to an indigenous communities. And the third, it's a hotspot for narco trafficking. But it's not a route. There's no actual route there. Nonetheless, the human smugglers have been lying to the migrants, saying that there is basically an ecotourism route that they could take. And they promised them it's only going to take about a couple of days. It takes a minimum of 4 days, 5 days to cross the gap. And it's very dangerous. And we heard this from a lot of the migrants themselves. The second thing, John, is that the major transnational criminal organization that's smuggling the migrants from Colombia into Panama through the Darien Gap is the Gulf Cartel. Cartel del Golfo. And this was verified by both the migrants and also the Center Front and the other Panamanian authorities that gave us a very detailed briefing about how that works. And then the last thing, John, is that so 2022 was it was a huge explosion of mass migration. The Center Front from Panama, but all the Panamanian migration authorities were just talking about how they had never seen anything like this in the history of the country. It was numbers that were astronomically high. For the type of capabilities and capacities that they have. But come 2023, they've done some things to help remedy that. The first is they built a lot more infrastructure. In fact, the last time I was here, it was maybe more than 2 years ago. It was during COVID times. There was not a lot of infrastructure along the gap. There was mostly like these migrant shelters that had just basically tents and very basic amenities, very basic things, resources there. Now they had, not tents. They had shelters. They had places to do laundry. They had portable water. They had medical attention. They had a lot more than even what I was expecting. And even the road, they've paved the road, not completely because there's still part of the road that's not good, but there's at least from the main migrant camps up north, further west down to Panama City, there's a good road that could take down there. Now, I didn't get to see the buses that were transporting the migrants from the Darien Gap up to Costa Rica because there was accidents the week that I was there with the buses. I believe there were some migrants that were killed on one bus and there was another accident with another bus. There were some migrants were injured. So the Panamanian government suspended this for the time being.
Joseph, a detail here. I want you to describe to the audience what it is that the Darien Gap represents, what you could see as you get to the end of the Pan American Highway and are greeted by Centerfront, who maintain two large camps, what the triple canopy jungle looks like to you. What is the challenge of passing through 60 miles of that without any guarantee you can cross the rivers? What does it look like?
It's about as dense of a jungle as you can imagine. Things that you might see in Vietnam War movies, where there's just, it's just a thick, thick, dense jungle. And it depends what season you're going. So we're right now in the dry season. So in the dry season, you would think it'd be better, but it's actually worse because there's not a lot of water in terms of the river is low. And because the river is low, you have less abilities to survive that trek, because you have less vegetation. And so it becomes much more difficult to cross. A matter of fact, the migrants usually wait for the wet season because they need the river and they need the water to be able to cross that. You have all the type of impediments that you would have in any kind of jungle, but probably even more severe in terms of hygiene, in terms of sanitation, in terms of infections, in terms of poisonous both bugs and plants that you can run into. And then it's essentially, I don't want to say it's not a mountain, but it's essentially like a big, like a hill, like a huge valley that you have to go up to cross the gap and then come down. And in fact, coming down is just as difficult as going up. Going up is physically exhausting in terms of the hike, but coming down is very dangerous, especially during the wet season when things are very slippery. And you can have an accident. And if you have an accident there, there's a chance they won't find you. And you may take a while before your body, which is already dead, is even recovered. We ran into migrants, John, that had all kinds of infections on their legs and their arms. Some that were way past the point of medical remedy. So they would need amputation on their extremities. So this is something that I don't think anyone, like, I don't know why you would want to cross this. That's why the point on the disinformation is very big, because the human smugglers that are making a business out of this are lying to the migrants. They're telling them that this is ecotourism. They're telling them it's only going to take a couple of days. And it's taking them, like, the fastest, you know, athletic young man would take at least 4 days to cross the Darien Gap. And that's if he knows where he's going. Many of them take 5-6 days. Some of them take even longer. Some of them get lost. And that's very deadly. So this is one of the hardest places, hard border crossings that I've seen to cross. And it's one of the thickest jungles that I've seen in Latin America.
Ernesto, good evening to you. You have a question for our colleague, Joseph Umar.
Sure, John. Good evening. So, Joseph, can we talk about hybrid war or asymmetric war regarding this surge in migration across Panama and overall? Because you told us that 2022 saw a big explosion of mass migration. And, well, what happened in 2022, Russia's invasion of Ukraine? I don't know. Can we put those things together?
Well, I think there's a concept that I was talking about with the folks from Centerfront and other Panamanian authorities, which is the concept of strategic engineered migration. And this is not my concept. This is a concept that was developed by a professor from Tufts University, who is basically talking about what happens when you have mass migration that's manipulated, coerced, or induced by state and non-state actors that try to overrun borders as an act of coercion against nation states that they look at adversarial. So in this context, what I talked to them about was what's Venezuela's role in this, right? Because the reason the numbers were astronomical last year as opposed to years prior is because of Venezuela and Haiti, but mostly Venezuela, because Venezuela's a country at once was a country of more than 35 million people. And when it was that, more than 10% of the country has left since 2014. So you're talking about 7.2 million Venezuelans have left the country in 2014. But just recently, in the last couple of years, have they started making this trek through the Darien Gap, through the jungle from Colombia into Panama. And actually, a lot of the migrants that I talked to at the Gap that were from Venezuela, they had been spending a lot of time in Colombia. They had been in Colombia 4 or 5 years already. And they decided to make this trek now because the situation in Colombia is now starting to get a lot worse economically. And so they're losing opportunities and they're deciding to take this voyage. But there's two things, I think, in terms to answer your question, Ernesto. One is I've always said that when Venezuela's migration starts to push north, it's going to cause a lot more problems for the United States and all their partners in Central America. That's happening now. And the question is that deliberate or is that coincidental? And if it's deliberate, then that could be an act of hybrid warfare, asymmetric warfare. because it's used to essentially coerce the countries to bend to your political will. The second thing I would say that, you know, what is the characteristics of some of these migrants? Not all the migrants, for sure. There's some, you know, very legitimate migrants that are victims of these kind of strategies from autocratic and authoritarian regimes. But there is one aspect to it, which is that I did run into some migrants that I believe weren't telling the full story of where they came from, because I believe they were probably coming from prisons. And this was very clear to me. I've heard about this. I've seen some reporting about this. But until you're there and you're talking to the migrants themselves and you're kind of looking in their eyes and you're getting a sense of what they're telling you, then you just, it started to really click with me that I think some of these folks were coming out of prisons in Venezuela and getting pushed further north. So that could be an aspect of asymmetric warfare as well.
We're speaking with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, who has just returned from Panama, where he traveled to the infamous Darien Gap. Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, is here with me. When we come back, a centerfront briefing on where the migrants are originating and how they're getting to this triple canopy jungle. This is New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
What happened to her, Mario? How could she simply disappear after she was with you?
I don't have answers for that.
48 hours at CBS News present.
I'm just going to ask you straight out. Did you kill Christy Wilson?
No, I had nothing to do with her disappearance.
Another season of My Life of Crime with Aaron Moriarty. Award-winning correspondent Aaron Moriarty brings you face-to-face with killers.
I will never say that I'm a cold-blooded killer. I'll never say I'm a murderer.
And the people they took from.
My son died running for his life.
This season, follow the evidence with Aaron, beyond the speculation, including in the death of boxing legend Arturo Gatti.
My gut says I don't think he would take his life.
I know my husband killed himself.
Listen to My Life of Crime from 48 Hours on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Mo Rocca, and it's been a while. But I've been busy digging up even more stories about the people and things of the past that are fascinating me now.
What did your father think of the label, of the whole idea of the Latin lover?
From the screen idols who redefined Hollywood's leading man.
I think it was a love-hate relationship. My dad hated the word macho.
That's what I call the Latin lover type of a role, which is one-dimensional.
To the dog who introduced millions of kids to classic literature.
I remember, like, on my 10th birthday, I think it was, we were going to go mini golfing, and I insisted, but we had to stay home for Wishbone first.
Listen to Mobituaries wherever you get your podcasts.
Now to exclusive reporting from CBS News.
Join Gail King, Tony DeCoppel, and Nate Burleson for original reporting. CBS Mornings, weekday mornings on CBS.